Amazing thing, too, that we backslide, get away from God, but He's always watching, always caring for us, always taking care of us. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Thank you, Rob. Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. The song of the month, How Can I Be Lonely? I believe, Brother Kelvin, don't you always sing that? Brother Kelvin, where are you? Every time I look, he's gone. It's amazing. Isn't that something they always sing in Senior Saints? That was the one? All right. First time I'd ever heard that when we started singing that here, How Can I Be Lonely? And now I'm humming it all the time. That's a good song. How many of you are doing the same thing? All these songs of the month, never heard of them, but then you sort of get it and you start humming it. Anybody else? All right, several folks. That's kind of good, isn't it? I like that. I like learning new songs. It's a good hymnal that we have, and a lot of good songs in there. And you know, how can you be lonely? You're never alone. Praise God. Smile. It'll be okay. All right. Amen. Isaiah 46 and verse 5. Well, it's tough. I mean, you look out and sometimes it's like, you know, it's the end. I think, does somebody know something I don't know? You know, do I have broccoli between my teeth? I promise you that'll never happen. All right. Isaiah 46. That's a promise. Isaiah 46 and verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? By the way, this is God talking. Isn't it amazing that we would even be so foolish to ever try to even compare God? Now watch what he says. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. He said, all right, here's you're going to compare me to something that was made out of silver or gold? God says, you're going to worship something that is made by a goldsmith? You're going to bow down and worship? Here's what he says. Here's what else he says. Verse 7. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They made this little god, this little idol, and they're carrying it from place to place. Kind of like our trophy last week that we had. You know, it's fashioned by man. It's made by man, and then it's carried from place to place. It has no power. It has no ability of its own. Wherever it's sitting now is where some human set it. It doesn't get up and move. That's going to be your god? This idol, this is, they bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place. Thank God, my God carries me. And he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. And then God says, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. We are so foolish to ever even think that we could compare God to anything. There is nothing to compare. There's none like Him. And then we get into what I want to talk to you about and preach about tonight in verses 10 and 11. God says this, and he really shows us a little bit of how He decides what He decides. He says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. And Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for how you've spoken to my heart using this passage. And Lord, I pray that my decision-making would be just like that. I pray you would help me to purpose things through good, right counsel, and then do them. And Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us to do the same. Please, speak to hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's foolish to compare God to anything. It's foolish to compare God's wisdom with man's. It's foolish to compare God's knowledge with man's knowledge. There is no comparison. It's not even close. And that's what the first part of our passage is about. But God then gives us a glimpse of his decision-making process. In verse 10, he says, he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. He's comparing. He's comparing the beginning, and then he compares all the way to the end, and then he compares from the ancient times, way back in ancient days, all the way till things that are not even yet done yet, things that are in the future, things that only God can see and only God knows. And God says, I compare all those things, and then he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Then he talks in verse 11, he gives a specific thing that God decided about. And that specific thing was calling this a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. And that refers to God's decision to allow Cyrus, the king of Persia, to invade the Babylonian Empire. And of course, we know about that as history, but certainly we read the book of Daniel and it's all prophecy. And God is saying that I have decided that Cyrus will take the Persian Empire and they will become the next world empire. And I love what it says. God says, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. And here's what he says, I purposed it. I purposed it, I will also do it. I want to talk to you about those words, I have purposed it. God said, here is what I have decided. And that's what purpose means. It means to decide. God said, I've decided this. I took all my counsel. God said, I put it together. I weighed the beginning. I weighed the end. I weighed the ancient time all the way till the time that you don't even know about. And he said, this is one of the things I've decided to do. And I purposed it. And he said, I'm going to stick to my counsel and I'm going to do it. You say, what's that have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. It is a glimpse into God's decision-making process. Here's what God's saying. God is saying, with my counsel, I made a decision. With the right counsel, with perfect counsel. By the way, God's counsel is perfect always. God says, I looked at the beginning, I looked at the end, I looked at the Babylonian Empire, I looked at the Roman Empire, I looked at the Grecian Empire, and he said, I've decided that the Persian Empire will make this move, and Cyrus will be the one to lead them, and I have purposed, I've made this decision, and God says, I made that decision with the counsel that I had, and now, he says, I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to do it. And that's the way it should be with you and I. You say, boy, that sounds deep. You will have to listen on purpose tonight, but it really is not deep. It's actually very, very simple. The truth of the matter is, every decision that you and I make comes from counsel. Everything that we... Now, you think of counsel as sitting across the desk from Pastor Rogers and counseling. That's not all the counsel you get. Counsel is any influence in our lives. Counsel is anything that influences us and anything that affects our decision making. Counsel can be preaching. Counsel can be teaching. Counsel can be a parent talking to their children and training them. That should be going on from the time they're born. Counsel can be received from television, radio, internet, books. It's anything that influences us. It's anything that has an influence on how we make our decisions. God's counsel is perfect. God said, in my counsel, he said, I decided this. God said, in my counsel, I purpose to do this. And he says, I will do it. And he did do it. Why? Because it was a right decision. It was a perfect decision. It was the best decision. And it was a decision that God made because of good, perfect, eternal counsel. And therefore, he said, I'm going to stick with that counsel all the way through. I will carry out my plan. By the way, that's how God does all of his plans. That's how the second coming of Christ, it's going to happen just like he said. That's how the birth of Jesus is just exactly how God said it would be back in Genesis. I mean, everything is perfect because it is made with the counsel of God. God says, I've decided this. I said this will happen, and it's going to happen. You say, well, what's that have to do with me? It has this to do with you. Our decisions come from our counsel. And if you will maintain the same counsel, then you will keep those decisions. If you will stick with that same counsel, and again, I'm talking about right counsel, I'm talking about good counsel, if you will purpose as a result of, for example, the Bible that you read, if you will purpose according to the preaching that you hear, if you will make decisions based on the teaching you get in Sunday school, if you will decide things based upon the Word of God and upon godly counsel and upon Christian people and upon the principles of Scripture, and if you'll stick with that all your life, you will accomplish that which you purpose to do. Well, you say, well, that's the greatest thing in the world you could do. That's the best thing. That is what we should do as Christians, is listen to the Word of God, listen to the counsel that God has put around us, and make our decisions based on that. Hey, it's not a light thing when we give an altar call. It's not a light thing in the teen chapel time when the invitation's given. It's not a light thing in our Christian school in chapel when you make a decision. It's not a light thing at camp when you make a decision. It's not a light thing when you make a decision as you sit at home quietly reading your Bible under the counsel of the Scripture. It's not a light thing when you say, Lord, you've spoken to me about this and I've decided to do this. Those are big things. I go back to times in my life that I purposed, this is what I'll do. I said, God, here's my decision based on what I've learned from your word. Here's my decision based on the message that I just heard and the preaching that I just heard. And many times at an altar, in tears, I've said, God, here's what I've decided. Now, Lord, help me to do it. But I'll say this to you. Had I changed my counsel, I wouldn't have accomplished that purpose. Had I gone to different counsel than what had counseled me when I made that decision, I would not have stuck to that same decision, and therefore it would not have been accomplished. Now, I like what God says. I purposed it, I will also do it. If you've made decisions, I'm thinking about couples getting married. You know what? You made a decision based on counsel. Now, if you made a decision based on he's cute, you're in for a shock in a few years. My wife says, honey, you're still cute. You've noticed she wears glasses a lot too, but listen, the Word of God, godly people, your teachers, your preacher, Sunday school teacher, I mean, so many people around us provide good counsel for us to make right decisions. And when you make a decision, I'll tell you what frustrates me as a preacher. It frustrates me when people say, well, I changed my mind. No, you didn't. You changed your counsel. You didn't change your mind, and God didn't change his call in your life either. And God didn't tell you that decision wasn't the right decision. You changed counsel. You started listening to the wrong people. You started listening to the wrong things. You started hanging around the wrong places. And you didn't change your mind. You changed your counsel. And you know what? Your purpose will not take place. Your decision will not happen. I want to show you three things tonight that I think would change your life if you'll listen, if you'll pay attention. Some of you teenagers, you ought to write these things down. I'm serious. I've got a lot of scripture. You ought to write it down. Number one, our purpose is our decision. Our purpose is our decision. When the Bible talks about, and there's many scripture talking about a purpose, it's talking about a decision. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Turn there. Daniel 1, 8. Our purpose is our decision. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed. You ought to underline it. You ought to circle it. You ought to mark that in your Bible. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That was a hard decision, but Daniel had made that decision. Daniel purposed. He decided based on the counsel that he had received from the time he was a little boy all the way till that day. He had sat in Sunday school classes like we have here. He had sat in church like we have here. And Daniel had sat under godly people and godly parents and godly influences all as he was growing up. And then he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart. He made that decision based on the influences that had been around him. And he made a hard decision, a tough decision, but he stuck with it. We'll get into that. But our purpose is our decision. We make many decisions. Some are good, some are bad. But all of our decisions are based on the counsel or the influences that we are under. I mean, many decided, I'm not going to drink liquor. Many have decided, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. Many have decided, I'm not going to do drugs. The reason you decided that was because influences around you have told you that that's the best thing to do. That is something you need to avoid. And the influences around you have shown you that's the right decision to make. And many have made that decision. Many little children have made decisions like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. And you know what? If they'll stay around the right counsel and the right influence, they won't. They won't do those things. They will avoid those kinds of things. Many have made decisions. You made a decision to stay pure until you get married. You made a decision that you're not going to commit immorality. You made a decision that you're going to be pure. And you're going to be pure for the one that God has given you to be a mate. And you made that decision based on preaching, teaching, your parents. You made that decision based on the Bible. You made that decision based on God speaking to you. And that's a good decision. That's a great decision. And you know what? As long as you stay around the same counsel and quit hanging around some of the folks you're hanging around, you'll be all right. How many people the decision they made is totally defeated because you didn't hang in there with the right counsel? Amen. Amen. A lot of good decisions. A lot of people have made the decision to surrender and do God's will. People make decision to decide to tithe. I remember my decision. Hey, we're going to tithe. As a new Christian, I learned about it. I heard about it. And the influences told me I needed to do it. And so we started tithing. And have always tithed since that day. About praying. About reading your Bible. About decisions about our job. Decisions about purchases, where we've asked God, show me, God, what should I do? And God, because of the influences in our lives, God, because of those around us and Bible preaching, Bible teaching, and godly influences, we've made decisions about a house, about a car, about all kinds of things like that. And those are good decisions that we've made. Marriage, maybe the most important decision next to salvation. Based on good influence, based on right influence, based on Bible, based on God's will, based on the preacher and preaching and a youth director and parents, and based on good friends. Notice I said good friends. I didn't say fair weather friends. I said good friends. I didn't say somebody who says they're a friend, but they counsel you in the wrong direction like Jonadab did. I'm talking about a good friend, somebody who really cares about your life and about you. Hey, you know what? With that kind of counsel, you can make good decisions. And when you stick with that counsel, you can keep those decisions. Our purpose is our decision. When the Bible talks about Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, it's saying Daniel decided. I made a decision. He might as well have gone forward at teen camp. He might as well have gone forward in our chapel at Berean Baptist Academy. He might as well have gone forward in church on Wednesday night. He might as well have gone forward on a Sunday. And Daniel said, I've made this decision. I've had counsel from people around me. I've had counsel since I was a little boy. I've decided I'm not going to defile myself. And he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't do it. He made a decision. Number one, our purpose is our decision. Number two, our purpose is established by our counsel. How do you come to make a decision like that? Look at Proverbs 20, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. Write these verses down. These are great, great verses. And some of them I've run into in our Bible study in Proverbs. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. And look what it says. Our purpose, my number two point, our purpose is established by our counsel. Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Do you see it? Every purpose, every decision you make, it is established by counsel. I mean, God, when He made His decision, the Bible says He looked at His own counsel, which is perfect. He looked at His own counsel. He said, I looked at the beginning all the way to the end. I looked at the counsel. I let the counsel affect me, and I made my decision. I purposed to do this, and I will do it because it was right. Our purpose is established by our counsel. Good example. With good advice, make war. Isn't that something? In other words, don't make war because you're emotionally involved. They attacked me. I'll attack them. You might die. Amen. What are you talking about? Well, I mean, if you attack, okay, they attacked you and they have a whole army of 50,000 back there and you've got 10 people. And you say, we'll attack! You'll die. You might want to seek some good counsel. Amen? That's all he's saying. He's saying, with good advice, make war. Okay? He's not saying don't make war. He's just saying you better have some good advice on the thing. You better consult the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines. I mean, if you're going to make war against these people, you better find out if you can make war with them. You might want to check out if you can win. Well, I'm just mad! That's why you shouldn't do it yet. That's why you better seek counsel. You know how many people get in trouble because they're mad? You know how many people go by their emotion and you make your decision based on emotion instead of on good counsel? That's why you should always have somebody you go to no matter what happens. Always have good counselors you go to and you ask them, hey, what should I do about this thing? Here's what I want to do. I have a lot of people come and say, Pastor, here's what I want to do. I say, you know, I understand why you want to do that. In fact, if we could do that and it was legal, I'd be for it. But you know what? You can't do that. And you shouldn't do that because it will hurt you. You know, so many times we hurt ourselves because, oh, I'm going to bless God, I'm going to get even, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because we're so emotional, we get angry, and that's why I like it. It says, with good advice, make war. Well, they attacked us! Okay, well, you better decide. Maybe it's just one attack. Maybe you better just tell them, okay, glad that's over with. Let me show you. Luke 14. Keep your place here. Luke 14. I'm getting some of those looks. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Luke 14, 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Talked about that recently. We're talking about foundations. And the foundations that I know of in places where people started to build a building, but they didn't seek the right counsel and they couldn't finish it. And what a terrible testimony it is. Now, look what it says, verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? I mean, that is something you really ought to talk about, don't you think? You know, well, my army of 10,000, let's go get that army of 20,000. Well, let's calculate that out a little bit and think through it just a tad. Amen. Right? Isn't the Bible good? You know? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. You know what? That might be a good idea. So with good counsel, make war. With good advice, make war. In other words, you know what? Not emotionally, not because you're mad, not because you're afraid, but with good counsel, make your decision. Proverbs 24, verse 6, look what it says. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety, there is safety, there is safety, there is safety. Yeah, but if I ask a lot of people, they'll tell me not to do what I want to do. If you ask a lot of people and they love you and they tell you not to do what you want to do, don't do what you want to do. Amen. Amen. Our purpose is established by our counsel. That's why you're making decisions based on who you listen to. That's why some of you, honestly, you come to church and it's boring to you and you roll your eyes and it means nothing to you because your influences are forcing you to make all kinds of wrong decisions. And one of those decisions is that church isn't, it's no fun. Oh, I'll tell you what. Church is real fun to folks who listen to the right counsel. I mean, because I'm wanting more. I'm needing more. I come needing something else from God every service. But you're so anxious to get out to your car and plug your ear things in to listen to your counsel, which is rebellion, anti-God, anti-Christ, and you're going to listen to your counsel, and that's how you'll make your decisions. And that's why you live like animals in a barnyard. That's why that's your lifestyle. That's why you roll your eyes at authority instead of respecting authority. That's why you whisper when your parents tell you to do something. And by the way, it's not just teenagers, it's also adults. It's because that's your counsel. See, Daniel's Sunday school teacher, Daniel's preacher, Daniel's parents, Daniel's God affected him in how he made his decision and how he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Let's break this down into the right counsel and the wrong counsel. First thing, right counsel. By the way, right counsel equals right decisions. Amen. Right counsel equals right decisions. Again, if I'm going to make war, I'm going to talk to the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines. I'm going to find out, hey, what is this thing all about? This guy's got 20,000, I got 10,000, but here's how the weaponry I have is, and here's what he has. Hey, what do you think? And the Army says, you're nuts. The Navy says, you're crazy. The Marines say, oorah. And the Air Force says, no, we don't want to do it. Now, I got to decide what I'm going to do. But I'm going to seek right counsel. By the way, that's people that know something about it. Amen. You know, honestly, it drives me crazy when teenagers seek teenagers for counsel. It's the blind leading the blind, and all of them falling into a ditch. Well, 15-year-old, tell me about life. I'm really concerned about my future. Listen, unless you're 8, the 15-year-old doesn't have a clue about your future. Hello? Man, this is good stuff. I wish you'd show it on your face. The right counsel. Where does it come from? First of all, from God. Isaiah 9:6, wonderful counselor. Amen. That's God. He is the ultimate counselor. And yet we make decisions over and over and over again without praying. How many decisions in this room, if we could just do a decision counter and we could do a survey somehow, decisions made without God, it'd be all over the room. We could call it flops without God. And we'd all have to raise our hands and say, you know, I'm in that thing. Huh? Look at Psalm 33, verse 11. Still talking about God being a good counselor. Psalm 33 and verse 11. Bible says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. You know, you have a decision to make. Get in your Bible and start reading about it. Amen. Go to godly people and talk to them. Praise God. God's decisions are perfect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, solid, always right. It stands forever. Amen. I mean, that's God. Look at the Bible as a counselor. Psalm 119, verse 24. Psalms 119 and verse 24. The Word of God is a counselor, and it should be your counselor. Psalms 119 and verse 24. The Bible says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that before you made that decision, you sought the Word of God? Can you say that before you decided, you purposed, you said, I will do this, that you looked into the Word of God? Because you know what? Your decision should be based on that. I'm talking about good decisions. It should be based on that. You say, I'm going to Bible college. Well, tell me why, according to the Word of God, you're going to Bible college. You say, I thought you wanted us to go. I do want you to go, but I want you to seek God's Word as a counselor. I want you to walk with God as a counselor. Because when you're there, it's easy to quit. People do all the time. I'm saying, hey, did your counselor purpose, put the purpose in your heart? And the Scriptures is an excellent, excellent counselor. Look at Acts 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Another good counsel. Acts 20:27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that's preachers, that's teachers, that's parents, that's Sunday school teachers, that's preaching from behind the pulpit, that's counseling in the pastor's office. Hey, people that really want to please God, they're going to declare the counsel of God. They're going to tell you the counsel of God. I don't know how many come in and I say to them somewhere along the conversation, you know what? I know you don't want my opinion. So let's just look at what God says. Now you may want my opinion, but I want you to understand, this is my opinion. Here's what God says. And that is the whole counsel of God. You should hear that in 2- and 3-year-old all the way up till you graduate and go on to heaven. It should be always, I want to hear the whole counsel of God. You need to be in a church where the King James Bible is preached, taught, proclaimed, where you're encouraged to read it and memorize it and listen to it and obey it. Why? Because that's the counsel of God. People are so confused today. They don't know if they have the Word of God. They're not even sure what God says. And you know what? You can tell by their life. They have no purpose, no decisions that are Bible-based kinds of decisions. You should have those kind of things, folks. We should have those kind of things. These counselors, God, the Word of God, godly leaders, these influences, they'll lead you to the right decisions. They will lead you as you grow and as your children grow up, they will be led to right decisions. They will be led to the right kinds of things and going to the altar and making those right decisions. But I got news for you. Wrong counsel leads to wrong purposes and wrong decisions. Sure does. Look at Psalm 1:1. It's right there. Psalms 1:1. Some have it memorized. Let's look at it. You ought to underline it, circle it in your Bible. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice, hey, the blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the counsel of the ungodly is going to lead you to wrong decisions. The counsel of the ungodly is going to lead you to rebellion. The counsel of the ungodly is going to cause you to roll your eyes when the invitation comes. The counsel of the ungodly dries up your tear ducts so you don't care anymore. The counsel of the ungodly makes your parents the enemy, makes the preacher your enemy, makes the youth director the enemy, makes the Sunday school teacher the enemy, makes the preaching the enemy, and those are your friends. The counsel of the ungodly is anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-good, and anti-good for you. The counsel of the ungodly we should stay away with. Blessed, happy is a man that walks not in that counsel. And yet we're influenced by ungodly TV, ungodly radio, ungodly radio programs, ungodly things we read, ungodly friends, ungodly relatives. We're influenced all the time. Be careful, folks, because your decisions are going to be based on the counsel you receive. Yeah? Boy, here's another terrible counselor. Look at Job 18. This will shock you. Actually, somebody in my office just this week, I won't embarrass you, but somebody said, well, here's a good counselor, Job 18, verse 7. The steps of his strength, talking about a man, the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Yeah, I think it's a good idea to listen to my own counsel. You know, however I feel, it'll cast you down. You should never go by your own counsel. It'll cast you down every time. It's just like making war because I'm angry. I'll go get them! And you're destroyed. That didn't do any good, did it? Hello? No, you need somebody else who has nothing to do with the thing, who has nothing in it, who has no motives other than, I want to help you. Amen. Because if you are the decider, your counsel, and that's all there is, you're headed for trouble. We're too emotional, right? Yeah, if we make a decision based on fear, based on anger, based on I'll show them, we're headed for trouble. That's why we need good counsel. Amen. Boy, this is good. Here's another one don't follow. Job 5, verse 13. Back a few pages, Job 5 and verse 13. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Notice what he says. And the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. The froward, this is somebody who's disobedient. Don't listen to the counsel of disobedient people. I'm amazed at young people who pretty much worship all those who are disobedient.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Oh, they told the teacher.
There's nothing cool about telling the teacher. You know, the Bible says that that's as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Huh? Witchcraft. Well, I never thought of it that way. Well, you should. And if you're going to base your decision, yeah, you know how many young people, I'll tell you, some of you that don't sing, it's because you're so afraid of what the cool people might say about you. What in the world are you thinking? Huh? Why in the world? Why would we make our decisions based on them who are disobedient? Yeah. Boy, this is good. It's going directions I didn't even know it would. Huh? Why would you? Hey, you know, I got to ask so-and-so. So-and-so got 100 demerits last semester. Why would you ask them anything? Other than, can I help you do right? I think that's cool. Cool to get kicked out of school? Really? Brother Varnum preached a message one time, well, three or four times, about something to do. Everything rhymed with school. And I think one of the things, don't be cool in school or too cool in school or something like that. And boy, that's so good. That is so good. There's young people. I mean, well, they made fun of me because I'm making straight A's. So, you know, I was so embarrassed. I started doing poorly. You're a dummy. Who cares what they say? They're bad counsel. That's not the right counsel. You folks at work, you know, they say, hey, don't work too hard. They'll require that out of them. Hey, my Bible says we are to work hard all the time. Don't you hold back so that they'll drop the rate? Well, the union will get mad. Tell them to get mad. Bless God, I'm so tired of that stuff anyway. Amen. Oh, boy, shudders go throughout the room. Hey, no big deal. I preached like this in Flint, Michigan with GM everywhere. And they were in the church. Union stewards and the whole bit. You say they get upset? I don't care. It's right. Don't you dare make your decisions based on people who are not willing to obey. And of course, the heathen, Psalm 33, verse 10. Psalms 33, verse 10. I'm getting real close to starting to preach. Psalm 33:10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. That's what's going to happen to the counsel of the heathen. Why would you go to the heathen? Huh? I say this about once a week, and I'm going to say it even more. I do not understand couples who are having marriage problems going to people who've been divorced three or four times. I don't get it. Well, I figure they got it right by now. Go to somebody who's been married 30, 40, 50 years. Talk to them. Look if they're holding hands still. Bless God. I don't get it. I don't understand. Why wouldn't you go to somebody who has a successful marriage and say, hey, how do we do this thing? Instead, you're at the factory and you talk to some guy who, he's had three wives. Well, I just need to know, what do you think about that? Why would you talk to him about that? I don't get it. You know, You want to find out how to love your wife? Come talk to the pastor. I'll tell you how to love your wife. Go talk to Chuck Pearson. He's been married a few years. All over this, there's folks all over the place. Look for some gray hair. And some folks been married a while, and that gives you no. It doesn't give you gray hair. I'm just trying to see if somebody's still awake. Uh-oh. First Chronicles, real quick. First Chronicles 10. You said real quick. Is that a hint? Yeah, it just keeps me going. First Chronicles 10, verse 13. Boy, here's a counselor we like to go to. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, to inquire a bit. That's satanic counsel. Why would we go to satanic counsel? If you're going to make your decisions based on satanic counsel, you're headed for satanic results. You listen, I'm talking about astrology. I'm talking about if you read any kind of any kind of fortune telling things, any of that stuff, the horoscope or any of that stuff in the paper, you shouldn't even look at it. You should pay no attention to it. Palm readers, all that stuff, crystal reader, none of that stuff. It's all ungodly. It's out of hell. It's satanic counsel. I'm talking about satanic books. Why would you get your counsel from that? I'm thinking about a fellow right now sitting in jail because of a satanic book who used to sit in church and serve God and love God. Made some decisions because of a satanic book. Oh, you say, well, I'm always constantly learning. Hey, memorize this thing. You want to learn something? Tell me everything in this book. Amen? There's not a whole lot you need to read much more about. You just get in this book right here. You'll be amazed how much good counsel you'll get. Amen? And then, you know, your music, honestly, seriously, let's think about this. It's a counselor. Why would we let anybody who makes the hand gesture to Satan, why would we listen to their counsel? Why would I make any decision based on their counsel? I wonder why you would. But all over this room, there's people. Your lives are a wreck right now. There's people right now. Your life is a mess because you listened to that kind of counsel. And you've made decisions based on it. And they've been anti-preacher, anti-church, anti-parent, anti-God, anti-Bible. And you know what? You are reaping that tonight. Hello? But you don't have to. I said, number one, our purpose is our decision. I said, number two, our purpose is established by our counsel. And then our last point, number three, is our purpose is affected by our counsel. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Our purpose is affected. Our decisions, our purpose, it is affected by our counsel. Proverbs 15, 22, it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I made a lot of decisions. I have made many decisions in my lifetime. And you know what? If I made the decision, then bless God, I want to do it. How about you? How about you? I made decisions to tithe. And you know what? With the right counsel, I've tithed. Made decisions to give to Faith Promise. And with the right counsel, I've done it. Praise God. Amen. Made a decision to love my wife. And with the right counsel, year after year, I've done that. I'm just saying, you know what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out that your purpose, the decision you make, it's affected. Whether you do it or not, it's affected by your counsel. Your purpose is your decision. Good counsel. Think about it. Good counsel led to a good decision. I think about our children growing up. They had good counsel. They hear the Bible. They have godly parents. They have good counsel. They make good decisions. I'm thinking about a new Christian who gets saved and they're under good preaching and the right preaching. Maybe they're in an RU program and they're hearing the Word of God and they're getting counseling one-on-one and God is blessed. God's speaking to their heart and they're making good decisions. I think about you today. You walk with God, you pray, and you make good decisions based on that walk and the reading of the Scripture and God putting things in your heart, and you make good decisions. And then along the line somewhere, somebody comes and they say, well, you know, I used to think that way, but I've changed my mind. That's a lie out of hell. All you change one thing, and that is your counsel. That's what you changed. And you know what? All those decisions that you made were good, right, perfect. They would have made you happy. They would have made you joyful. They would have completed your life in the will of God. And the truth of the matter is, you sought a different counselor. And that's why your purpose is going to be defeated. All over this room, there's people that said, I'll be pure. I'll be pure. You might have been in fifth grade when you made that decision, but you meant it. Hello? You knew it was right. You knew that's what God said. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, if you can't handle it, get married, but not in fifth grade. Amen? What's that mean? That means from fifth grade till about the age of 24 or so, you've got to stay pure and you don't touch the opposite sex. You don't touch them. Did you hear what I say? You don't touch them. You don't even touch them. You say, why are you always watching me? Because I'm afraid you're going to mess up. That's why. You say, preacher, it's getting a little hot in here. It's already hot up here. Just the introduction was hot. Huh? But you believed it in fifth grade. You might have believed it in sixth grade. But now you're starting to wonder about it. That's because you're listening to the wrong counsel. And that's the one thing that can defeat your purpose. Huh? That is the one thing that can defeat. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You need to keep getting that good counsel. You say, well, I go to church, but you don't listen. Rebels don't listen in church. You say, well, you preach so hard because I want to get somebody's attention. That's why. What do you beat on the pulpit for? I want to get people's attention. I want to make a scene if I have to. Why? Because I got something to say. We're not just up here to look cute, though it's there. Watch it with those, well, I don't want any of my purposes to be disappointed. I don't want my decisions to be a waste. Here's the thing. Daniel kept walking with God. Read it. Daniel kept talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read it. I can just imagine, you know, Daniel, he just stayed under the same counsel. Amen. He's taken away from Babylon. Or taken away to Babylon from his home. Maybe saw his family murdered. And he's taken out of there. And instead of being bitter, he listened to the counsel of God. He decided, I won't be bitter. You know, he's taken to Babylon where the Babylonians want to train him in their religion. He says, you know what? I'm not going to leave my God. You can say all you want to say, but you're not going to influence me over my God's counsel. Why? Because I purpose some things in my heart and I'm going to stick with them. I said to my God, I'm going to do some things, God. And I'm not going to let anybody mess with that. And so he listened to God's counsel. And he knew the word of God. And he listened and he talked to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And perhaps other Christian boys then. And he didn't let the Babylonians influence him. And therefore his purpose was established. And do you think God used Daniel in kind of a unique way? I always liked when he was thrown in the lion's den. Now he probably didn't like it at first. But I always like just to think about it. And those lions were hungry lions. And they just purred like kitties. First of all, I don't like cats. Second of all, I don't like a cat bigger than me. Third, I don't like a cat that can eat me. But I'll be honest with you, Daniel knew that his God was honoring his decisions. Because they were made with the right counsel. And he stuck with that counsel. So here's a couple of problems. Number one is no counsel. Proverbs 11:14. No counsel. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. No counsel. That's a problem. No counsel. Proverbs 1:25 is another example of no counsel. Proverbs 1:25. The Bible says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would not of my reproof. God says, you won't listen to my counsel. No counsel. God, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. No counsel. Psalm 106, go there. Psalms 106 and verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Remember when you used to wait on God's counsel? They wouldn't wait on it. They didn't want to hear it. Let me show you something. Job 17:11. I wasn't sure I was going to go here, but I think I will. Job 17, verse 11. Boy, the book of Job's awesome. Job 17:11. My days are past. What? Look what he says. My purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. Here's a guy who thought all of his decisions were gone. Now, you know, that's the reality of old age right there. That's a reality of a man who thinks the end is near and his purposes never were accomplished. Now, that's not what happened here. He thought that. I'm just saying to you, you know, there's a lot of people who they see that happen. They actually see all the decisions I made, I've not kept any of them. The only thing that's going to keep you from it is no counsel or the wrong counsel. And it's going to mess you up. So many people lose the purpose that they had in their heart. And they're doing... There's folks sitting at home right now watching the Olympics instead of being in church. You know what? There was a day they said, I'll never miss church. I'll always be in church. I'll be in church when the doors are open. Always. And they always were till they changed their counsel. Or till they quit listening to God. Till church became... Because they listened to all the gossips, they quit listening to the preacher. I like that. Let me repeat it. They kept listening to all the gossips, they quit listening to the preacher. People tear the preacher apart enough and somebody out there is going to believe it. Though it's not true. And then they quit listening to the preacher or the youth director or the Sunday school teacher or the parent. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're not getting the same counsel they got. And guess what? All those decisions and those purposes they made that were right and that would have brought blessing after blessing to them, they're all gone. Job said, boy, you know, it's sad. My purposes are gone. What a waste. I've talked to a lot of people on their deathbed who said, what a waste. What a waste my life's been because I didn't listen. You think you have God tuned out. All you're doing is setting a path for your own destruction. Your own sorrow, your own pain. No counsel. No counsel. And the purpose is disappointed. I'm talking about folks who stood at a marriage altar and said, I am going to do these things, but you refuse to listen to the counsel of God's Word, God's man, godly people, and now those vows mean nothing. I'm talking to young people here tonight as well. You better listen to counsel. You better not marry the wrong person. Counsel will protect you. Amen. I'm looking, I think of so many at an altar said, I'm surrendering my life to do whatever God wants me to do. And you went back on that too because you changed, you quit listening to God. And the preacher started preaching about Christian service and you rolled your eyes. The youth director started preaching about surrendering your life and I made that decision, but God doesn't really want, God really did want that. The problem is you quit listening to God and godly counsel. No counsel will affect your purpose. And then when you change your counsel, it'll affect your purpose as well. And this is the scariest thing. 1 Kings 12, verse 8. Look at it. Just about done. 1 Kings 12, verse 8. First Kings 12:8, the Bible says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Changed his counsel. Tell you what, it's a dangerous thing every time. If television is going to be your influence, you're never going to do anything for God. I'm not saying you can't watch television. I'm just saying if that is your main influence, you're not going to listen to the preacher. You're not going to listen to to your Sunday school teacher. You're not going to listen to your parents. You're not going to listen to godly friends. Instead, you're going to be influenced by television. Then you're headed for trouble. You're letting a chat room influence you. You don't even know who you're talking to. Huh? Some of you guys, you know, you just scare me to death. Some of this chat room stuff. You have no idea. You know? I know of guys. I know of guys who are contemplating getting out of their marriage because of somebody in a chat room. who's probably some 55-year-old, bald-headed, fat man.
Oh, no, I got it all figured out.
See, what you need to do is you need to go back to that old counsel. You need to go back to those old counselors that helped you in the beginning. You need to go back to those old counselors that love you. Those old counselors that pray for you. Those old counselors that have been faithful to you. Those old counselors that handed you little prizes when you were in Sunday school, and they handed you little pieces of candy when you were in junior church, and they gave you the quiet seat prize and said, I love you. Those are the counselors you need to remember and you need to go back to. Huh? Yeah. But you've traded them in for someone who says they're your friend. Amnon had a friend. He had a friend that said, hey, You want to have an immoral, impure relationship with your sister? It's a piece of cake, man. Rape her. No big deal. What's wrong with you, Amnon? Go ahead. That was his friend, Jonadab. I've often wondered what Jonadab had to say at the funeral of Amnon. I tried to tell him. Let me tell you something. If friends are leading you away from your church, away from the things of God, away from purity, away from a godly decision, away, I'm talking to you that work in factories. If friends are leading you away from godliness and righteousness, they're not a friend. They are not your friend. They are not there to help you. They are there for their own agenda. Look at Ezra 4, verse 5. Amazing verse. Ezra 4, verse 5. Now here's the truth. Satan cannot have your soul. And you know what? Satan can't have your good decisions. But he can defeat him. What do you mean? Look at Ezra 4, verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. I read that and I thought, that's exactly what Satan does. Satan has all these counselors out here that he hires to try to stop your decision, to try to keep you from being pure, to try to stop you from being married, to try to get you to lose all your money with a bad decision. Satan's out there and he's trying to frustrate your purpose, to keep you from serving God, to keep you out of the will of God. He can't have your soul, but he can steal your good decisions. I've only got that much left. Stay with me. Job 38. Job 38, verse 2. Say, how big do you write? I write real big. Job 38, verse 2. Boy, this is good. I'm telling you, Job, who is this? Okay, the Lord is answering Job, and I love this. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What's God say? He said, who dares darken my counsel? By the way, Job kind of explains that in 48 verse 8. Go there real quick. Make a notation to Job 42 verse 8. And he kind of explains that, Job 42, verse 8. It says, therefore take unto you now... Wait a second, let me see. Let me make sure that's right. That doesn't look right. All right. That's not my verse. Oh, I hate that when I write the wrong verse. Anyway, but he says, who dares darken God's counsel? Who has the audacity to darken God's counsel? Who dares to do that? He goes on, and I love this. He says, verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Who is this? Who is the one that would dare try to stop the counsel of God? Who dares darken God's counsel? Well, pretty much, he says it's the person who has words without knowledge. That's who it is. That's what it says in verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at so many folks who haven't got a clue that you listen to. And God says, how dare they? How dare they? You know what I'm talking about. One of our teenagers comes back from youth conference and they've made a decision about how they dress. And somebody who doesn't have a clue, somebody who hadn't walked with God ever, somebody whose walk with God is maybe like a skip every now and then, you know? And they challenge him. God says, how dare you? I put that decision in their heart. A young person comes back and they talk about surrendering their life to God. And sure enough, here comes somebody who's never surrendered their life to God, and they question him. Well, don't you think you might be just a little emotional? How dare you, God says. How dare you darken my counsel that I put in their heart? Hey, we're not charismatic around here. We don't swing from the lights. I don't want emotional decisions. I've preached it. I've said it. And I will say it again. I'm not looking for anything emotional. I'm looking for you to search the Scriptures daily. I'm looking for our young people to search God's Word and to walk with Him so they make right decisions. We're not playing games when we have preaching and we give an altar call. I don't want emotional. Hey, listen, I could give it an invitation. Say, hey, if you're American and you're red-blooded and you love God, come forward. And if you hate God, stay, and we'll have a full altar. Some of you'd be up here that never come. I thought about doing it just to acquaint it to you. You know, hand out a little card that says, I now know what it looks like. Amen. But that's not what I'm after. I'm not after emotion. I'm after folks to say, you know what? Here's what God put here. And I am making this decision based on that, and I'm going to stick with it. Well, the way you're going to stick with it is to keep getting good, right counsel. And to get it from somebody who has knowledge. Not the blind leading the blind. Not somebody that is also like you. Not somebody who wants your life to be a mess because misery loves company. Not somebody who has their own agenda. But somebody who cares about you and wants your life to turn out right. You know, it's amazing. Eventually, when we don't receive godly counsel or we change our counsel, eventually we try to hide from God and from His counsel. And so what do we need? We need a multitude of the same. Back to Proverbs. We're just about done. Proverbs 15, again, and verse 22. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The people in this room that are the happiest, have the most peace, are the people who made good, godly decisions, and they've stuck with that same counsel that caused them to make that decision in the first place. And they're watching their decisions be established. They're seeing it happen. They're seeing it take place. They're starting to understand why they made that decision. You know, when I surrendered to preach in the back of that bus on the way between basketball games, I had no idea what I was doing. Are you listening? By the way, that wasn't emotional. What was emotional? It was the back of a bus. It was just me and God. I didn't have any TV cameras on me. Didn't have any radio station interviewing me. Huh? It was just in the back of a bus. And there was no lightning. There was no thunder. There was just a guy who had been influenced to make a decision. I had no idea. But you know, I'm starting to understand it now. 51 years old, I'm starting to understand why God put that in my heart. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in all this world. Well, the other counselors pulled on me, just like they pull on you. But I'm so glad. I am so glad. Proverbs 24, verse 6. Proverbs 24, 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. Let me just tell you this and I'll close. Those original good counselors, they still love you and they still care about you. They still care. They still love you. They remember your decision. For some, it's a parent. They wrote it in your Bible. For some, it was a godly grandparent. They wrote it in your Bible. They remember you making that decision. They remember how you meant it. You knew it was right. Their only question is, why aren't you doing it? Why'd you quit? I'll tell you why you quit. You quit because you changed your counselor. You quit listening. You quit listening. Did I say I was going to close a little while ago? One more verse and I'll close. Proverbs 20, verse 5. That's all right. Brother Chase did that this morning, so I can. Proverbs 20, verse 5. You just need this verse. You really do. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That is so good. A good, godly counselor, a man of understanding, all he'll do is draw out that original right purpose that you made. All he'll do, that's a man of understanding, a good, godly counselor. He will, in counsel, he will draw out that purpose so that you accomplish it. Because that's the most important thing in all the world. It is the most important thing. And there was a day, you might have been in fifth grade. It might have been 20 years ago. But there was a day that decision was important to you. It might have been when you first got saved and you got baptized. And right after that, you said, you know what? I'm going to start tithing. God put it in my heart. I know I'm supposed to tithe. But you quit along the way because you quit listening to the right counsel. Huh? It could go back. But you know what? A good, godly man of understanding, all they'll do is sit down and draw that thing out. I talk to couples all the time that are having marriage problems. And I always go back to the very beginning and say, remember when you stood across from each other? Remember what you said? Remember you looked in each other's eyes and you, boy, there was that look and your eyes were all twinkly and it was so innocent, but you vowed your lives. Remember those days? Now you made that decision. Hey, you know what? Why can't you keep that decision? And I try to draw that decision out. Amen. You're here tonight and maybe you've been getting the wrong counsel. Then you need to change your counsel and start making the right decisions. You're here tonight and you know there's some decisions you made, but because you've changed your counsel or you're not listening to the right counsel, you've gotten wacky and your purposes are being totally destroyed right down the line. You know what I'm talking about. It's all over the room. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank God. He said, I purposed it. I will do it. How about you? The only way you will purpose it and you will do it is if you stick with the same counsel that caused you to purpose it in the first place. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many here tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? God's speaking to my heart about something. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, we love you. And God, I thank you for being my counselor all these years. You're such a great God. I thank you for the purposes that you've put in my heart. The people that you've surrounded me with, people that I could counsel with. My own dear wife, who is one of my counselors, I thank you for her influence. Thank you for the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, who is my guide. I thank you for the decisions, and I pray that I will do them. Help me not to be swayed with wrong counsel, and help each of us to seek the right counsel, to make right decisions, and then to stick with them and do that which we decided to do. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The instruments will play, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is your all on the altar tonight? You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. You come right now. God's speaking to your heart.